Technorama, a shadowy flight into a podcast that does not exist. Chuck and Craig, loners on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, and the powerless in a world of criminals that operate above the law.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractor. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Marvel veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated amulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fam. Milford trunnions. And the phasic lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
All right. I want to welcome everybody to Technorama tonight. Now, I've got Chuck jinxed.
So you said my name. You said my name.
Crap.
This is show number 100. In Octal. Really, it's show 64.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
didn't,
you're right.
Didn't everybody think in, you know, 3 bits or 8 bits?
I was counting it up.
Thank you for downloading and listening to Technorama. Can I interest you in an extended service agreement to go with this show?
Last 1 week.
I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. This is your adventure into fun with technology. We put the fun back in technology. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic, Chuck, and how are you tonight?
I'm fine, but cold. The temperature is still around nothing. Do it in more... Well, no, it is actually warming up. It's up into the teens.
Well, we're one, and you've got zero.
One and zero. Coming up tonight's show, we've got several things on iTunes. Everybody's been talking about iTunes lately, the last few days.
Yeah. You know, they got Battlestar Galactica and Knight Rider and some other cool shows. We'll talk about that for a few minutes.
I never was a big Knight Rider fan, but I hear a lot of people are, and they're glad it's out there.
Wait a minute. You were never a Knight Rider fan?
No, I thought it was really cheesy.
I don't know you anymore. We need to reevaluate our relationship.
I am happy that I will have a chance to get Battlestar Galactica caught up. That's what I'm looking for. And we've got part one of our interview with Podcasting for Dummies. Let me try that again. Podcasting for Dummies co-author T. Morris.
Perhaps we should get that book.
Well, you know, every time I look at the title of that book, I gotta laugh. Because the title is Podcasting for Dummies, and you gotta think of things like Cooking for 100. I knew it'd take you a second to get that. All right.
Oh, yeah.
We will be right back after this short on this day in history. And trust me, it's short.
Nothing happened.
On this day in tech history for December 8th, 2005. This is December 8th. It's the 342nd day of the year. Say it with me. In the Gregorian calendar, there are just 23 days remaining in 2005. There isn't much today. It was on this date in 1968 that a system for which hypertext and the computer mouse were developed, known as NLS, is publicly demonstrated for the first time in San Francisco. And happy birthday on this date in 1927 to Vladimir Shatilov, the Soviet Union-born cosmonaut. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for December 8th, 2005.
Morgan. My name is Wilhelm from Germany. Whenever I am driving home on the Autobahn, I always listen to the Shock Shed Technorama podcast with his little friend, Frank Stepp. I think it is wunderbar. Keep on geeking, guys. Auf Wiedersehen. Endlich ein.
Hey, you've gone Chuck. From super geek to my Mitch's little friend.
I should call him Mini-Me.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, we love that.
Wunderbar.
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 I wish I could go on the Autobahn. Phil, you make us laugh. And you know what else made me laugh this week?
What, Chuck? What made you laugh?
I believe it was Douglas Alexander, our friend from Australia. Almost said Austria, because I still have
Hello. What did he do?
He sent me a link. You remember Badger, 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 right? We played that, about 3-4 weeks ago? And asked people to contribute to the wiki and put in their Badger programs. Well, we're going to need to make a modification of those programs to accept a new parameter, like, Dash Santa or something. Because there is now a Christmas version of Badger, Badger, Badger. It's called Santa, Santa, Santa. Listen to this. Wait for it. I want to know, is this a new Christmas carol? Could you go around singing this to your neighbors? Just stand outside their door going, Santa, 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 until they throw something at you.
Well, my son actually thought that the Badger, Badger, Badger was a great song, so he might like this one. And he is 3, so you and him have something in common, Chuck.
I'm not free, I'm foe.
Well, yeah.
You're only as old as you act.
I can't believe they actually went to the trouble to make a new version of that.
Okay. Why not?
It's kind of funny. What?
Probably not real hard. The hardest part was putting those little badgers in Santa suits.
Santa, Santa, Santa.
We have a link in the show notes, of course, so if you want to go there and annoy the rest of your friends.
Or coworkers.
Oh, that's a great coworker one. You will have them singing that for the whole day. It's very... It bores into your mind, right down to the cerebral cortex. Where
I'm feeling it now.
Breathing and heart rate are controlled. So if you listen to this enough, you'll die.
Yeah.
Remember our Carmen's Wednesday? No, this is... I can't remember. The last show on show 63 about people mispronouncing our names, we kind of got off on that side tangent.
Oh, yeah. It's like my life story.
This one seems to have brought out the best in some people. They just love to tell us about their mispronounced names. Our friend Yorga was right up there with them. Of course, look how long it took me to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
We also got a new one from Darusha Wame. Says, hiya, gents. I was just listening to your most recent show where y'all went off on a tangent about how your names get misspelled. Well, at least people can pronounce your names. Yeah, they really work well with Tomasi.
I was laughing a week here and thinking about, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. You want to hear how bad it gets with me? Here.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi. Chuck Tomasi. Chuck Tomasky. Chuck, Tomasi. 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 I think that's how you pronounce your name. Chuck Tomasi from ChuckChat.com.
All right. That gives you a little idea if people can really pronounce my name. No one can either spell or pronounce mine. It's pretty entertaining, the strange versions I get in the mail, though. My favorite was Danisha Juan. which is an excellent alias, says, "Cheers, Darusha Wame." And she even spelled it phonetically, Darusha Wame. And I can get that, can't you?
Yeah, I can do it.
Darusha, you rock.
Yeah.
I got to get back to that place on the playlist where I was, because we have a voicemail from our buddy Charles Stell, who gives us a talking point right here.
Oh, okay. I'll leave him with...
That was nice. Roll him.
Hi, guys. It's Charles from out in the sticks of Arkansas again, and I have a question. I haven't heard much about podcast clients lately. I know about the I guess it's iPod, or is upgraded to the Juice version. And I'm a hopeless PC user, no Apples around here, so I've been wondering if the reader I've been using is getting pretty long in the teeth. So what's out there nowadays? What kind of options do we have? And also, I want one that only runs when I start it up and run it, and then that's it. I have enough garbage running on my machine. I don't need anything else taking up resources. Thanks. Let me know.
Well, my first thought is iTunes will only update while it's running. You can set it for update when you want to hit it, and you hit update and all the podcasts update. You can tell it to update every hour. You can tell it to update once a day. It's up to you. But when it's not running, it's not updating.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what I would recommend is, he said he's using Windows, right?
Yes.
I would say Doppler Radio. I've used that in the past, and it's actually worked really well.
What was that? I think you broke up when you spit out the title.
Doppler Radio.
Doppler. Okay, yes.
Yeah, Doppler Radio works really well. You know, you just start it up. You don't have to have it running all the time. If you have it running all the time, you know, you obviously get everything when it comes out. Or shortly thereafter, you know. If you
Where was that
off,
DopplerRadio.net? If I remember right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
but you need the of course .net to make it run.
Does it have a background component that might get him in trouble? You know, something that hides down in the system tray, or can he run it purely in the foreground and not running?
No, you can. I think in the settings you can actually tell it when you close it, it closes, or you can have it minimized to the system tray if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, you just open it up, it runs, you get your downloads, you turn it off, and you're not getting anything else until, you know, you open it again.
Because we mentioned iPodRx, which is probably changing names soon, but you can still find it at iPodRx.com. However, that one does have a background piece. I found it very annoying on my Macintosh that even when I told it to shut down and go away, it still had a little checkbox buried back there that says, oh, yeah,
yeah,
and continue to update when I'm not even looking. I'm like,
yeah, I like Doppler Radio, and even iPodder, you know, does real well. If you, I think you can tell it not to minimize it, actually to shut down when you close it. So I like either one of those.
Several options, and check the options is what it sounds like.
Yes.
Hey, I want to give
my options.
Charles, if you're running any problems, call Craig. Craig at chuckchat.com.
Yeah. Call me at my email address?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or your Skype ID.
Yeah, something like that.
I want to give a couple of shout-outs. First one goes to Joel McLaughlin for finding our Frapper map. It hasn't even been published yet. I created it, and I said, yeah, when I get the website thing rearranged, I'll put that link up instead and tell everybody, hey, go look at our Frapper map. But he must have just been trolling around and found it. But congratulations, Joel. You found our Frapper map. Of course, it wasn't real tough. It's, you know, frapper.com/technorama.
That's Frapper minus the last vowel.
Yes.
Like Flickr.
Can anybody Frapper. Spell? What are they trying to do to these poor kids these days?
I don't know.
Kids can't spell as it is.
You know what? When I see the word Frapper,
yeah,
I think of like some kind of nice coffee drink.
I think of those ladies from the 1920s. The coffee drink's a Frappuccino.
Or a Frapper. Never mind. I'm not going to go any farther.
Dance the Charleston. Okay. My second shout-out is to Mark Shepard, who is all by his lonesome in the chat room right now. Don't forget, we do have that chat room when we record, and the recording times are consistent, and Mark is like clockwork. He's in there watching out for us.
Yeah, I think he actually quit his job so he can meet up with our schedule.
Don't be jealous with me, Napoleon, because I've been online chatting with hot babes all day.
Gosh.
On to the news.
Yeah.
You plunk the Underwood on the desk there. Wow. Dueling typewriters. I think we hit that within a microsecond of each other.
Here you go.
I should warn the listener that I have a headache tonight, and that did not help.
Why don't you sit in the back, and I'll do the news.
All right. The news, 10 golden rules from Google.
What?
This is their 10 rules of...
Whoa, Chuck.
What?
I just told you to sit back, and I would do the news, and you start reading it.
I'm doing the first story.
Where am I? Yep, go ahead.
The show must go on. I need a beer.
Go ahead. Have the first story if you want.
Knock 'em dead.
For it. No, you do it.
The 10 golden rules of Google. These are the rules they live by. And I've heard some of these before. Number one, hire by committee. Make sure that you don't have one person making the hiring decisions when you do hire a new employee. We found this to be very helpful. Get a group of peers and bosses and, you know, from different ranks and even different departments in to make a decision when you're hiring somebody. Yes, it takes longer, but you make less mistakes. And I could go on a whole two-hour dissertation about hiring tips and tricks because I went to a special all-day class on it. Number two, cater to their every need. I'm not sure I necessarily agree to this, but it's basically keep the employee happy. Number three, pack them in. I don't like this one. I may agree with it, I may not, but I don't like it.
Is it in the same vein that you're thinking of?
I think they are shared cubes. Yeah, everybody's nice and close.
Shared cubes?
Yes, shared cubes. Which feeds into the fourth one, make coordination easy. Because if the people on a team are close together, communication isn't an email or a phone call away. It's, hey, what do you think about this? Now, maybe they're thinking of in a little different system than I am. But, yeah, if it's not shared, then it's darn close. And we've got cubes right now set up back-to-back where there's, like, the four office corners are facing away from each other. So everybody's, you could stand in the middle of all four and, you know, basically slap everybody on the back of the head without moving.
See, in a way, that's not too bad because everybody can turn around and everybody talk.
Right. But, yeah, so. No, I distinctly remember seeing shared in there somewhere. Number five, eat your own dog food, which is always wise.
Hey, is that like a spiff, like Microsoft has some free soft drinks, they get free dog food?
Dog food. I wouldn't want to work for Calcan. Or Alpo. No, that refers to if you write software, you better use that same software so you are your own customer and you know what the customer sees. Of course, then you get back to our 10 favorite things that a software developer says. Doesn't do that for me. Number six, encourage creativity. They allocate something like 20% of the employee's time to just creative projects that they want to work on. Of course, everything has to be approved and whatnot. Number seven, strive to reach a consensus. It means everybody, you know, has to agree on something, but doesn't always work that way. Number eight is the one that I heard just today on CNET Buzz Out Loud, as a matter of fact. Don't be evil. Which,
yes.
I was thinking more like $1 billion.
Yeah. Don't be evil.
Don't shave your head and wear funny silver suits. Okay, number nine.
Hey, wait, Chuck, don't be evil. All right.
Okay. Number nine, data-drive decisions. That means make sure all your decisions are based on empirical and not, whims.
Emotional.
Emotional. But you know what? There's another side to that. Trust your instincts and go with what your gut tells you.
That's true, too. Part of, part of everybody's decision-making has to be a little bit of emotion.
Based on experience. Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with number nine entirely.
Because, if somebody's a little uncomfortable with their own decisions, you know, they could, you know, if they don't feel secure.
You should go with your gut till someone shows you the data to, you know, call you out on it. And number 10, communicate effectively. Very, very important at any company. And I am learning this as I am currently an interim functional manager for our IT group. that communication is, I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a communication problem some days.
And you know what? My favorite, you never assume, because you know what you get when you assume?
Yes. You slice it up, it says you make an ass of you and me.
Bingo.
I think everybody learned that one, right about time they learned to spell assume. All right, you want to take the next story? Did you read the next story?
No, but I'll go for it.
You know what Ajax is, right? And we're not talking about that cleanser for your sink.
Yeah, let me speak. Articles from an article from university.
Usability. You sure you want this one?
Man, you messed me up. Let me alone.
It's my job.
Article from Usability News. Crap, go for it.
There's an article from Usability Views says Ajax sucks, and so does our reading tonight. Along with the good things that Ajax does, everybody knows about Ajax at this point. If you don't, there's always Gmail. You can click on things, or dig.com is another good example. You click on things and they happen. You don't need a page refresh for everything you click on to make the page change, or a query. It's very nice, very fast. However, there are some bad sides, and this article points them out. Things like the back button on your browser no longer does exactly what you want it to do. If you click on something and it starts filling out a form or does some action, you click the back button, it's not going to do exactly what a page refresh back button would do.
Okay, I'm going to take an issue with that because the problem is if you're making a web application, and this is the problem I've had with some of the stuff I've done, making a web application that posts some data and then somebody wants to use the back button and then go back to a form, change something, and submit it again. So it's not just Ajax, but the back button is not perfect to begin with.
Oh, exactly. When it comes to post forms, I'm sure a lot of people have tried the back button. It goes, warning, this page was created by posting content.
Well, see, like, okay, and we can talk about this a little bit later if you want, but some of the applications that I make, I get around that because PHP is pretty quick. So what I do is I submit my information from a form to a script, and then that script does what it's supposed to do, and then it redirects to either back to the form or the queue, whatever the page with the data or whatever. So that way, when you do hit the back button, it does not give you that post error.
Yes, there are workarounds to that, but you have to be a decent programmer to do that.
Yeah, and I do that, but the problem is, still, the back button is run. You should have a flow in your application. So I think it's more of an application programmer error, or not error, but problem if your application doesn't flow right. So you can't, you're not looking at, you should be able to look at data, add something, and be back at looking at your data, or, some kind of loop where you can navigate yourself in your application.
You want to know the real story, Sonny? The web was not designed for applications.
It was designed for, reference and hypertext and looking up stuff and not really interactive applications so much.
No, that's what Mark Andreessen worked on for so long.
All right, next one is it breaks bookmarking. If this kind of feeds into the same argument that if you have a flow to your program, your application, it's tough to bookmark a specific place if it's heavily embedded with Ajax.
Well, see, here again, I still say that has to do with regular HTML because or web applications. I say because I use Ajax a little bit in some of the stuff I do. I try not to overdo it.
Yeah,
but still some of the people bookmark the stupidest stuff. I tell you, some applications, I've got a queue page.
There we go.
I've got a queue, right? And in the queue, it has, you're looking at all the data, like an overview.
Yeah.
And then they'll try and break bookmark something, and then I'll change the application a little bit. Hey, my bookmark's not working anymore.
And the thing is, if you're going to be using an application that somebody may want to come back to, you have to use your get variables correctly to be able to bookmark that specific place.
I say, when I design something, I try to make an entry page.
Yeah.
Bookmark that. And then everything, nothing.
The rest of the pages just say screw bookmarks on them.
Yeah.
It's a little icon on the corner. Never mind. All right. Yeah. And finally, it's not good for accessibility, particularly dealing with screen readers and things. Now, that one I didn't know about. I might have to dig in further to that one to find out what about Ajax is it that breaks accessibility? And I know we have some listeners out there that are visually handicapped that may be able to give us some insight into this. Yeah, is Gmail a viable application?
I'm going to say I think I understand what they're talking about, because aren't screen readers supposed to be like top-down design? So if you have stuff moving it, changing in the middle, it may not pick up on that, I guess.
Maybe.
So yes, if you're challenged or whatever, please let us know because we want to know.
Yeah. All right, we need to move along because we still have a big honking interview with T. Morris.
I'm having fun talking.
Yeah, I know. So am I. But we can't do this all afternoon or all night or personal. You know, eventually someone's got to go to work. A real Slice of Sci-Fi podcast over at sliceofsci-fi.com has some really cool stuff to give away. Evo asked us personally to mention this, and we are more than happy to, because we like Evo and we like the moon, and we won't go any further than that. They've got an iPod from the Sci-Fi Channel. It's got a purple click wheel and the Sci-Fi logo etched on the back.
Yes.
They've got, man,
as soon as I heard that, I was like, yes, I want that thing.
That's a promotion for the Triangle miniseries on the Sci-Fi Channel. And I'm not going to tell you how you can win these things. You got to listen to the latest show to win these. They've got MST3K videos, I believe, bundle number 8 or series number 8, whatever it's called.
It's not season.
No, because they pull these from all over the place.
I know it's got it's 2 discs, 4 episodes, yep. 4 movies.
Whatever. And a real, live, honest-to-goodness, that's how Evo termed it, prop from the Narnia film. It's a...
The lion? Is it the lion?
No. It's not a witch and it's not a wardrobe. It's a canteen flask thing, battle canteen. If you watch the movie, you'll see it, which I believe the movie opens this weekend. So you've got to listen to the latest show. There's a link in our notes to their show and to their site. And Evo said he'd make Craig and I rich.
Woo!
Beyond our wildest dreams. We've got a quick promo to play. This is pretty cool. Victor Cahiao is in cahoots with the Harvard podcast, the Harvard people that are doing the computer science thing. I've listened to a couple of these. They're very informative.
Oh, yeah, sure. They're great. Yeah.
Now, listen to how he's working out with them.
Hello. My name is David Malin, and I'm the instructor for Computer Science E1, Understanding Computers and the Internet, a course offered each fall at Harvard University's Extension School, whose lectures, for the first time ever, are available as a podcast in video and audio formats. On November 23rd, Victor pointed you in the direction of our podcast and tasked you with an assignment of sorts, inviting you to email him with follow-up questions on Lecture 1. Well, we thought it'd be fun if I answered those questions personally in a special Typical PC User podcast on December 16th. If you have any questions on Lecture 1, or any of the lectures for that matter, do go ahead and send your MP3s or emails to typicalpcuser@gmail.com. Probably the easiest way to find our podcast is to search for Harvard Podcast on Google. You should see, near the top of the results, a link to the course's website, entitled Computer Science E1, Understanding Computers and the Internet. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to your questions.
Greetings, geeky people. This is Jennifer, your Girl on Tech from the Girl on Tech podcast at girlontech.com. And you are listening to Chuck Chat. Hey, Chuck, a while back, you called me your oldest listener. You know it's not nice to talk about a diva's age like that.
All right, let's we're 29 minutes into this here podcast. We've got to move along with
talking
our
and play it.
T. Morris interview. Are you ripping on me?
No,
I'm the one running the board.
I would never do that.
Yeah, right. People listen to us for that.
I smell the respect.
I feel the love. And while T and we are talking, Craig and I will be talking offline. We're just going to go over here in a corner and talk.
Yeah.
Lovely picture on the webcam, by the way.
You like that?
Yeah, both of us. Let's hope Mark doesn't grab that one. All right, we will be back in a bit. Enjoy our interview. This is another multi-part thing, so this is part one of our interview with T. Morris, co-author of Podcasting for Dummies. Hey, boys, girls, and those that are binary challenged, we have an exclusive. Well, we've got a first. We've got the author of Podcasting for Dummies, T. Morris, on the line. How are you, T?
I'm fine, thank you very much. I tell you one thing, though. I feel like the pressure's on because I'm following Adam from MythBusters. I heard that was y'all's last interview. I freaking love that show, and the fact that you guys had Adam on your show, I'm like, and I'm the next interview. Ah, man, I got to make this good.
Well, we had that guy from the Recycle Center, but he didn't know he was on the show.
Okay, there. Gorilla interviewing. I don't think I wrote about that in Podcasting for Dummies, but.
This Why is you your pointing that hat at me?
This is your first interview for the book, right?
This is my first official interview for this book, yeah. I mean, it's been mentioned in other interviews, but this is the first one where the interviewers have said, we want you to come on the show and talk specifically about Podcasting for Dummies. Oh, yeah, and if we get any other stuff, then that's fine, too. So yeah, this is the official inaugural interview for Podcasting for Dummies, which, let's be fair, I didn't write it all. I co-wrote it.
That's true.
I wrote it with this hack of a writer, complete and total hack. But you know, he does put on a pretty half decent podcast with Michael Meningay called Slice of Sci-Fi. I think they won something for it.
Yeah, they've got an award similar to the one behind me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
But now Evo Terra and I co-wrote this book together, and we didn't kill each other. So that's we both lived to tell the tale about our first For Dummies book, and it was a great experience.
Well, thank you for taking the time to visit us on Technorama.
Oh no, my pleasure. I'm a promotional whore. I'm okay with that.
Take it where you get it.
Exactly.
Well, you're no rookie to the writing scene. For the listener who hasn't heard about you, give us a little background. How'd you get started? I mean, way back when. This goes back pretty far.
Well, actually, I have some history with Evo. My first fantasy novel, Moravi, The Chronicles of Wraith and Ascana, which I described to people as Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets Pirates of the Caribbean. That was my first book back in 2002. And the first radio interview I ever did was with Michael R. Meningay and Evo Terra of The Dragon Page. This was way before Slice of Sci-Fi. This was way before Winging It. This was even way before the days of Live. And that was where Evo and I met. I've written three fantasy novels total. I've contributed to two... writer's guides, all with Dragon Moon Press, and you can find more about them at dragonmoonpress.com. And then there's the other release I had this year was called Farscape Forever: Sex, Drugs, and Killer Muppets. That was a really good title. I was a contributor to this. I guess you could call it a collection of essays and looks back. On the TV show Farscape, and that was since I'm a raging scaper, this was a dream gig for me, and so I've Podcasting for Dummies is not my first byline, but it's definitely my first For Dummies book, a very different experience, and boy, I had a great time doing it. It was high pressure, but it was fun, high pressure. The people at Wiley were very easy to work with.
They're no dummies.
No, they're not. Although they are getting a little challenged about the companion podcast.
Yeah, right.
I'll give you a quick inside story. Yeah, it did get green-lighted. It did get green-lighted, so we are going to be doing a companion podcast, and I'm not going to say when. I'm just going to say soon.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
They were kicking around ideas on how to do the companion podcast, and one of the ideas was, well, why don't we give a link to T's website and then T can host it? And that's when I had to sit down with the folks at Wiley and go, guys, I got this great book. It's called Podcasting for Dummies. You might have heard of it. And they show you how easy it is to actually host a podcast. Now, if you guys at the For Dummies website are promoting a book about how easy it is to do a podcast, maybe you should host the podcast that goes with the book. And they were like,
that's right.
You got a good point there. And
that's right. Bartending for Dummies, but not sure where we should hold the cocktail party.
Exactly.
You know, I could really see that working for them, because for all the different types of books and stuff that they got, they could do podcast till
One of their recent titles this past year was Dungeons and Dragons for Dummies, and I thought that would be just an absolute killer companion podcast. Mm-hmm. And there have been some rumblings over it for Dummies that if this is a hit, if the companion podcast to Podcasting for Dummies is a hit, they may consider doing that with other books. And and that's really what that's what I think is really something that still remains sort of untapped for a lot of businesses. I don't think businesses understand or even comprehend the promotional aspect of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of different promotionals for my books in the past, but none have ever had the staying power or the response that doing a patio book has been for me. And that's, I mean, you know, I'm trying to get my time squared away where I can do it again, where I can do another patio book.
Mm-hmm.
But before I do that, I got to get the new book finished. I have to get my new novel finished, and then I can go on ahead and say, okay, now I'll try to do a patio book. But not before that.
So you're talking about Moravi, right?
Well, Moravi was my first patio book.
Okay.
And I basically put Moravi together as a podcast to promote its sequel, Legacy of Moravi.
Oh.
Now, a lot of people have asked me, well, are you going to make Legacy of Moravi into a podcast? Well, the book just came out this summer, so the answer is no.
It's still selling.
Exactly. However, Billy, one of my other books, Billabong Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword, I described that book to people as The Lord of the Rings if Mickey Spillane wrote it. And
hey, I'd like to see that.
It's a spoof. It's a spoof of the old style gangster detective novels, and it's also a spoof of fantasy. And I had a great time writing it. And right now, I'm working on the sequel to Billy. And once the sequel to Billy is done, then that would be a good time for me to start up the podcast of Billabong Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword.
Sure.
The trick is finishing the sequel. Because I was actually in rewrites with Legacy when I started the podcast Moravi, and that was a little rough. But what's so cool about this is that, you know, I've actually heard people say, other authors say, well, you got to be kind of an idiot to be giving away your book in audio format for free. Mm-hmm. And not only did I have a spike in my pre-sales for Legacy, but I suddenly had a spike in my sales for Moravi, and Moravi's a three-year-old book.
Yeah, and, wow, that's cool.
And not only was this spike on Amazon.com from Moravi, they were for international sales. You know, people were having it shipped up to Canada, shipped out to the Netherlands. Wow. I was tickled. I was really tickled. Yeah. And this is all because of podcasting. So
it's just another way to get exposure, for your work.
When's the movie?
Still waiting on that one.
It's coming out on iTunes as a video podcast.
There you go. Yeah, only if I can get Zhang Zi to come in, but she just did Memoirs of a Geisha, so I don't think she's going to do any independent video cast anytime soon. You know.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how did you get the idea for Dummies, or did you approach Wiley, or did they approach you? How did that all come about?
That's a story in itself. It was really funny because I was in the middle of podcasting Moravi, and I do have an agent, but not for my fiction work. I have an agent for computer books,
mm-hmm.
and I did write this one computer book that I don't talk about because it was not a very pleasant experience. As Bill O'Reilly will say, we will not speak of this again.
Notepad for Dummies.
Exactly. yeah, something along those lines. Simple text for dummies. Turning your computer on for dummies. You know, something like that. Atari for dummies.
Control Alt Delete made easy.
Yeah. My agent said, you know, gave a list of all these different things of what she needed from her authors, and then she put on there, does anyone know anything about this thing called podcasting? Ding, ding, I was ding, the only ding. Yep, and I was the only writer that stepped forward and I said, I'm doing this right now. And she goes, well, great, then I need a proposal from you. I'm like, okay, so I then asked her, I said, well, listen, I don't feel comfortable writing about this by myself. Do you mind if I get someone else involved? And she said, sure. And that's when I called Evo.
What made you think of Evo?
And I will tell you why. Evo is, whenever you're on a panel with Evo and you're talking about podcasting, they should just call it the podcasting panel with Evo and assorted other people that might say something. Because Evo will start talking about podcasting and he will not shut up. He will just go. I mean, he is like the greyhound in the slip, straining up on the start. He jumps out of the box and he just goes solid. And it's poetry. I mean, it's absolute poetry. Evo really knows the technical aspect of things. Now, if either one of you have heard my patio book of Moravi, you'll note that I'm kind of a production geek. Unlike Pocket Independent and Earthcore, which were the other two patio books that were happening at the same time that I was doing Moravi, they kind of kept it simple. In fact, I'll never forget hearing Scott Sigler tell me, dude, you really need to cut back your production. You're just putting too much into it. And I just looked at him and I said, this coming from the heavy metal master of patio books. But in my patio book, I did a lot of production value. I mean, I put in sound effects. I put in original music segues. And I was just going to town. And that's just the actor in me coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew that when it came to production stuff, I was okay. But when it came to the actual technical, like how does the RSS feed work and all the little nitpicky things about enclosures and, you know, where to sign up for directories, I knew Evo was going to be a much better counterpart for that. He was going to be the person that you wanted to talk to about the technical aspect of it. So I got Evo involved, and we wrote the proposal once, and my agent said, you need to rewrite it. So we wrote it again. You need to rewrite it. Third time, you need to rewrite it. And we started to get a little frustrated, so we said, do you have some specs that these people wanted to follow? And she's like, oh, I forgot to send those to you. So the agent sends us the specs, and oh, lo and behold, we open them up, and it says at the very top, for dummies. Well, the phone rings, and Evo's on the phone, and I pick it up, and he goes, did you know? I go, no, did you know? No. And within hours, we had a spit-polished proposal in the for dummies style.
And, oh, sweet.
The next thing we knew, we were hitting the ground running, and now we've got this brand new for dummies book that I don't mind bragging about. This will be the fourth week that it's been out, and it's already going into second printing.
Woohoo!
So, that's fantastic.
So yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you. We could not be more thrilled. That means we're going to be paying off our advance, which is even better. And now it's just a matter of, okay, the books have been sold. Now people got to go out and buy them. And we're just hoping that people are still going to want this book and they're going to keep the demand high for it.
Chuck Tomasi and Craig's Deck bring you Chat Panorama, the place where common sense stops and geekiness begins.
Hey, I really enjoy talking with T.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was, really.
And I got my reader's notes back to him. Actually, I was listed on the shipping label as reviewer, so I properly reviewed the book. I put my review on Amazon, but it never showed up. I don't know what's up with that, so I may have to write another one. But I did send my feedback back to them. There were a couple of technical things. If it was technical, it was probably mostly Evo's fault. So I sent those off to them yesterday, and we don't know if they will make it into the next printing of the book, but I hope so.
They're probably looking at your notes going, the crap is he talking about?
We have no idea. All right, we're going to jump right into the Geek Library.
Yeah, real quick, I'm going to mention one I thought was interesting. It's a BitTorrent site, but not the kind you think. It's actually got public domain movies. These are older movies, and they have, like, some of the old Flash Gordon serials and stuff like that in there that are in the public domain now. You can use BitTorrent and download them.
Cool.
Whole directory of them. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm going to check out the Flash Gordon ones and go from there.
The old Flash Gordon with Buster Crabbe?
Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. The old school, man. Like, way old school. Ooh. Like, when they made school out of mud. Old school.
That would be called an adobe.
Yeah, you know, it had the old... I mean, I saw a picture of Ming sitting there with the black hair. Yeah, it was like classic, old school classic. And they have a comedy. They have all kinds of stuff in there. So,
cool. Yeah, I am going to have to look that out. Look out for that.
Look out!
That's why they call it a scenic lookout, right? There's always a little tree root at the top that you trip over. Look out!
That's right. So it's the end of the show, boys and girls. Hope you enjoyed the interview and all other stuff.
It's the end of the show. We need an end of the show song.
It's the end of the show as we know it.
This show is extremely happy to be part of the Friends in Tech gang. Go visit them at friendsintech.com. Tell them how to contact us.
Yes, how to contact us. Thank you, Chuckles. You can email us at listenerline2. You can call us at listenerline26222chat. It's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckday.com. Send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. You can also email me, Craig, at kreg@chuckchat.com. And don't forget to visit our website, chuckchat.com, for our links to forums, our swag, our show notes, and all that good stuff. And I'm throwing another plug for my blog at spindle.com. That's with a big Y in the middle.
Hurry up. Your audio is wigging out. The show's coming to an end. Thanks for listening, and as always, a big binary high five.
101!
Bye now.
Later.
I think it is time we demonstrated the full power of this station.